I want to be like each of these people. And it's fun being a part of a church where there's so many people I want to be like as I grow up. And Craig and Karen, I want their servant's heart, steady servants. I really, really want to be like that and grow more. And Keely's compassion, her heart for people just flows. And Troy, quite frankly, I'd like some of his hair. But really, his and I used to have hair like that, but really his whatever it takes kind of mentality. I was in India where Troy has been with the same people he served with. And that was one of the comments they made. They said, you know, when you're with Troy, you just say, this is what needs to be done. And he's there ready to do it. And so those are things that I want that these people have, and I hope you want it too. May the Lord give it to us. My job this morning on this second of a two Sunday missions emphasis here at Grace is to give you a biblical foundation for what we're doing and then also help you move into some practicals about your own life. So that's what I want to do. I'm going to do it from the book of Ephesians this morning. And so if you'd like to follow along with me, chapters 3 and 4. I'm just going to read various sections from those chapters and kind of fit it all together as we try to understand the foundation that explains and sustains what we do at Grace in terms of missions. Now, the Apostle Paul is writing this letter, and he is talking about, in this letter of Ephesians, he is talking about how now the grace of God through the gospel of Jesus is being spread to all the nations. And to the, he calls it the Gentiles. And if you've been around for several weeks, you know that when we're using that word Gentiles, we're talking about all the nations. And so he's talking about how the gospel is spreading, and he's talking about his part in that as a missionary. So I just want to read to you some passages, and I'm going to fit them together. The first one is Ephesians 3, beginning in verse 8. And this is Paul writing again. He says, to me, the very least of all saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles, all the nations, the unfathomable riches of Christ. That's the gospel. And to bring to light what is the administration or the plan of the mystery, which for ages has been hidden in God who created all things, so that the manifold wisdom of God, it's another Paul way of saying gospel, the wisdom of God might now be made known through the church. And then we're going to bridge that, because he just ended that little phrase there on the church. We're going to bridge that over now to chapter 4 and verse 11. And he's speaking of the church that he was talking about in chapter 3. And he says, he, Jesus, gave some as apostles and some as prophets and some as evangelists and some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ. And that's another reference to the church, the body of Christ. And then we're going to bridge that over to verse 15. Because he's talking about the church and the body of Christ. And he says that we're to speak the truth in love. We are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, that's the church, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body, the church, for the building up of itself in love. Now, that is a biblical foundation that explains and sustains what we are doing in missions here at Grace. These are the words of the Apostle Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit and designed to shape our lives. Paul was a missionary. And as I said, underneath his mission activity, there was a set of beliefs. And they are in these passages. And again, these beliefs that Paul had explained what he did and sustained him in the work. There is always a belief or a set of beliefs from which our actions arise. We never just do anything. We always do based on belief. So a child believes that his or her parent is a vending machine. And so the child sticks his or her hand out and holds it there until he gets a cracker or a cookie or whatever it is he wants. And it is the belief that his mom or dad is a vending machine that causes the hand to go out. And then it keeps it there way past the endurance of a parent. And finally, the parent gives in and gives the child what he or she wants. There's a belief system at work there. A student believes that a particular degree program will prepare them for the future, enhance their job opportunities, and that explains and sustains years of study and long nights up reading. No one just does anything. There's always a belief or a belief system under our actions that explains and sustains. Paul believed this. He believed that God had given him grace. And the grace of God to Paul was for the purpose of making Christ known to the Gentiles or to all the nations. That's in Ephesians 3. And he believed that God was also making his name known, and God is today making his name known and his plan of salvation in Christ known through the church. That is Ephesians 3:10. And he believed that God provided a way for every person, every individual in the church to be able to serve so that Christ's name would be made known, his salvation be made known, and the church would grow. And he believed that the church was growing and would grow when each individual person contributed to that work. And that's Ephesians 4. So that set of beliefs explains why Paul engaged in missionary activity, and it sustained him when it nearly cost him his life several times. He would keep at it. Well, that's exactly what is happening here at Grace Community Church. There is a belief system in this church that we derive from the scripture that explains and sustains our missionary efforts. It explains why we're doing this today, and it has sustained us now for 16 years as a congregation, as we have been about this desire and this task of making Christ known in Nashville and beyond. It's a belief about God first, and a belief about missionary activity second. It's a belief about God first, that God is making his name known in the world. And second, it's a belief that missionary activity includes something for everyone. God first. God is active. Now, this brochure is my sermon outline. So if you'll just open it up. And on the left-hand side, there is a statement there that says we participate in missions because of who God is and what God has done and what God is accomplishing in the world. And there are four statements there that are for us a core belief. God acts in the world to make his name known. And God calls his people to proclaim his deeds to the world. And God sends us, his people who know him, into the world to share the gospel. And God saves people from every tribe and tongue and nation that all may know him. This is what God is doing. And if we didn't believe that God is doing this, then why bother? Why go? Why pray? Why send? Why give? If God's not acting. But that foundation belief that Paul believed and revealed it in Ephesians, that we believe here at Grace, is what explains and sustains our missionary activity. This is the biblical witness. We, as you know, are in a study of the book of Exodus here at Grace. And you know that Exodus started in Genesis when God called Abraham and chose him to be the father of a nation. And what did God say to Abraham? He said, through you and this nation, the nations, plural, of the earth will be blessed. We come to the book of Exodus, and this nation is in slavery. And God said, I'm going to deliver this nation from slavery. Why? That you, the nation of Israel, and the nations, Egypt, will know that I am the Lord. And then I take a big jump over the rest of the Old Testament, which we could have stopped and gone through various parts of the Old Testament. But for the sake of time, I go to Jesus and he said, preach the gospel to all the nations. Same thing we heard from Abraham and in Exodus. And then we come back to the Apostle Paul, who we're reading this morning. And this is what Jesus said of Paul. He will bear my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the sons of Israel. So there's the biblical testimony that the nations are in God's plan to share the gospel and to bring people to salvation, to reconcile a people to himself from all the nations. And then we come to the last book of the Bible. And we come to the one of the final scenes in the Bible. It's the scene of eternity. And you think, well, I know what that scene is. That scene is when I finally get the house I've been wanting. That scene is when I finally get those golden streets and stuff like that. Here's the scene. It says that Jesus was slain. And he purchased with his blood for God men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. And a great multitude which no one can count. I love that, which means there's going to be a lot of people in eternity with God in heaven. A lot of people. You're not going to be able to count them. And they're from every nation and all tribes and all people and all tongues, language groups. And they're standing before the throne and before the Lamb. That's Jesus who died for their sins. And they are clothed in white robes because they've been cleansed of their sins. And they have palm branches in their hands and they cry out with a loud voice saying, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. So there is the biblical witness that God is active in the world. And that God is calling us to himself and then calling us to go back and sends us out into the world. And that God is saving people today from among all the nations. It is that belief that explains why we at Grace Community Church want to be a part of that missionary activity of God. And what sustains us year after year after year in doing so. The second belief that explains and sustains what we're doing is this: missionary activity includes something for everyone. Missionary activity includes something for everyone. So where I say everyone, put your name. It's not everyone but you. It's everyone. And you can have the joy of being a part of this. We described missionary activity last week as spreading the central message of Jesus, the gospel of Jesus, through the means of going to others with the message and communicating the message to them and calling people to respond to the message with faith. Now, here's a question for you. How many kinds of activity are involved in that one central activity? How many tasks are involved in the task of communicating the gospel? And my answer to you would be more than you realize. On Friday, I was out walking the property, watching the construction. And it's really not a good thing for construction to be going on when I'm trying to work because I get so antsy. I work for about 45 minutes or an hour and then I just have to take a break, you know, have to stretch my legs. And I'm out there all the time. And so I'm watching this on Friday and I'm peering up at the tower that they were doing the finishing touches on the roof. And there are stonemasons out on the property and roofers and drywallers. Now, if you don't know about construction or if you haven't been watching this whole process, you might think that because on that particular day there were about 10 or 15 guys who were building the building, you might say 10 or 15 people built this building. But as I stood there and I watched this building continue, the work on it continue, and that stone, beautiful stone going up, for just a moment, my mind, I had these flashbacks. And what I thought of was our real estate broker who called me about 5 years ago and said, go out to the corner of Granny White Pike and Old Hickory Boulevard and look at that property. And then I started just from that point on, just started thinking about the design team that was involved and the architect and the engineer that was trying to figure out where the water's going to go when we pave a parking lot. Question, when you drive onto this lot, do you have a thought about where the rainwater's going to go? No, you want to know where the drinking fountain is. That's the only water you care about. But see, an engineer was thinking about that. And then I thought about the giving campaign team and the giving campaign and the givers. I thought about all of you as you've given to this. And then who remembers those zoning hearings? You remember that part of the process? And legal documents. Do you know there are legal documents involved in you sitting in this chair right now? It's called liability. There were bank meetings. There's the contractor, the subcontractor, the earth movers, the slab pourers, the steel workers, the plumbers, the electricians, the framers. There are people who decide how many chairs are needed for every room. There are hundreds of decisions that are made behind the scenes about things like color and sounds and light. And then in this whole process, you have to have somebody like me who just walks out on the property and stares. It's an important job. This building is being built because a lot of people are contributing their individual part. If I could borrow from Ephesians 3, according to the proper working of each individual part. And it's the same with missions. There is something for everyone to do in this missionary task. And my goal, I've never been very subtle about my goal when I'm preaching. I just usually tell people before we start, this is what I hope happens to you today. Here's my goal. Our goal as a church is that everyone at Grace Community Church be able to point to one or more ways he or she is contributing to making Christ known. That's my goal. That every one of you in this room would be able to say, here's one, two, or three ways that I am personally involved in this missionary task of making the name of Christ and the gospel of Christ known everywhere, in Nashville and around the world. So I want to help you get started. If you'll take back out the sermon outline for the day, the brochure, and on the right-hand side, as you open it up, on the right-hand side, we start with ways, opportunities that you personally can be involved. It says, make his name known in the world. And there is a list of opportunities to serve overseas or outside of America. And you may be a part of something that's not listed on here. Great. In a moment, I'm going to ask you to let us know what that is. But you can look there and you can find out information. And I'll show you how to do that in a minute, too. And then make his name known in Nashville. There is a list of ways that people from our church are a part of making the name of Jesus known in our own city. Again, you may be a part of something that's not listed there. Great, we're going to want to know about that. You may prepare yourself to make his name known. And there is a list of opportunities for you to educate yourself about what God is doing around the world. And you'll have to just take initiative and sign up and be a part of that. And then pray to make his name known. And there are at least three or four ways that you can, at our church, be a part of prayer and intercession for the work, for the missionary task. And so you take a look at that. And then on the back, through giving, make his name known. And this is about our Grace Missions offering. And you can participate in that. There's a brief explanation there, but let me go ahead and say a word about that. Beginning today and through the end of the year, here at Grace, we are taking our annual Grace Missions offering. Now, you can give to Grace Missions anytime you want to. So if it's July and you want to give something to missions, you just give a check and you write on there Grace Missions offering, or you put cash in an envelope. You write Grace Missions offering, put it in the offering basket, and that will go toward missions. Now, here's how we support missions at Grace. Every Sunday we receive an offering and people give to this church. And we take 10% of that and we put it in a fund, a missions fund. And then we take the offering that we give, that's anything that's marked Grace Missions offering, 100% of that goes into the fund. And those two sources bring our resources together, and that's how we support missions and fund missions throughout the year. So read that on the back, take a look at that, and that's how we can get you started in this process of being a part, so you can point to one, two, three ways that you're a part of God's work around the world. Now, there are hundreds of ways that you can connect and contribute to what God is doing around the world that are not listed in this brochure. Hundreds of ways. And here is my exhortation to you. My exhortation, my encouragement to you is this. See your situation in life right now, not as an obstacle to your discipleship or your mission involvement, but as the place of your discipleship and your mission involvement. So label yourself right now. Now, I know you're not supposed to do that, but I'm going to ask you to do it for what I need done right now. Just label it. So what are you? You can say, well, I'm a student, or I'm a parent, or I'm a mom at home, or I have a job that makes me, you know, causes me to work whatever, 40, 50, 60, 70 hours a week. Whatever you are, I want you just to label yourself right now. Now, that place that you are right now in life, I'm encouraging you to see it not as an obstacle. It is not an obstacle to your discipleship, your following Jesus, or your involvement in what God is doing. This is the opportunity. This is the place. I mean, if it's really an obstacle, get out. But it's not. This is the place where God wants you and can use you. What we need is the ability to see. What we need is imagination. What we need is creativity so that you can view where you are right now, whatever your station in life, you can see the opportunities that God has given you to grow as a disciple and to serve, to minister and to be a part of what he's doing around the world. So what it takes is a missionary heart. That's the most important thing. If you have a missionary heart, then it doesn't matter where you are in life. It doesn't matter what city you live in. It doesn't matter what job you have. It doesn't matter whether you're home with kids. If you have a missionary heart, you take that missionary heart wherever you are and something starts to happen. Now, I want to give you some real life examples. These are real stories of people at Grace Community Church, and I'm not going to share their names, but I know them. I know of them, and I could share probably 100, and I've just picked out a few. These are missionary hearts being lived out and expressed in real situations. A working mother talks to the women in her workplace, and she loves them, and she builds trust. They trust her. They love her. They know she cares about them. And she leads them through a study of the Gospel of John during lunch. And these people, these women don't know Jesus. And they still don't. But she's remaining. She's staying with them. She's walking with them and showing them Christ. A man lives an authentic life among his running group. And he gives them an accurate picture of what a genuine follower of Jesus Christ actually looks like. A mother whose life revolves around her small children seizes the opportunity to teach them about the nations and about people groups around the world and how to pray, and even takes her children with her when she ministers to the needs in our city. Now, this book, if you're at home with kids, this book will help you. They're out in the gathering hall. There's a couple of copies out there, and you can take one. And when they're out, you just have to go online and find it. It says You Can Change the World. There's volumes 1 and 2. There is an adult companion volume to this. And quite frankly, I like reading the children's one. I like the adult one, too. But the children's just as quick and easy, and it helps me. I'm kind of that way. And so grab this and let it help you. A couple takes up the task of praying for missionaries, and so puts together a monthly email prayer list of our people around the world. And, oh, that is so helpful to me. because for years I had been burdened around here that we weren't keeping up with our missionaries around the world. It just burdened me. And this couple has taken the task on themselves to put together this monthly prayer list. And I'm on the email list and they're sending it out. And then they've organized a monthly prayer meeting. Two women are staying in regular contact with a woman on the mission field to encourage her and to pray for her. And she needs them desperately. And they're providing that kind of emotional support. And with technology today, it's nearly free to call now around the world. So when I started calling around the world, I mean, it was, you know, you had to tap into your savings to do that. Now it's free. And that's a wonderful thing. A family has a refrigerator door with pictures of the missionaries they are financially supporting and praying for. A professor takes a job at a university in another country and after a couple of months of teaching there, sends an email back with wonderful stories about conversations he's having about Jesus with the students there. A couple right now is praying about the possibility of overseas work. A single person we heard from this morning is preparing to leave for the field in the next few months. So what's happening here? People with missionary hearts are just living. And again, I'm looking out at faces now. And I'm seeing people. I wish I could tell your stories. So you see me looking at you now. Stay at it. It's people with missionary hearts who are just living. And they take that wherever they go and God uses it. The missionary activity of the church will be carried out by the proper working of each individual part when every one of us sees that there's something for us to do. God is active. God is active. And that is the fundamental foundation truth that we believe and rest in and pray toward and take joy in. God is working and he has called us, every one of us. He's called us collectively as a church and you as an individual to be a part of that great work. So I exhort you to use your imagination and be creative in how you can take part. Now, take this response card. And this is what we want you to do. On one side, it says, I am ready. And just check these boxes that apply to you. So I'm ready to consider a short term trip overseas. We've listed some that will go on in 2009. If you're going on a trip that we haven't listed there, you already know you're going. If you'll write it on there, we want to know you're going. I'm ready to minister in Nashville, we've listed several opportunities that our church is involved in. If you're doing something not listed on there, write it on there because we want to know what you're doing. I need perspective. You want some information about some educational opportunities, some classes that are going to be offered. Check that. I want to know more about Islam, another class that we're going to be offering. Check that. I'm ready to pray for missions. You want information about upcoming prayer meetings or maybe how to get on this prayer email I was telling you about. Check that. I'm ready to give. I've already talked about that, but you can do that today or you can do that anytime between now and the end of the year or you can do it any time of the year. But if you do it now between the end of the year, it'll help us as we plan. And then on the other side, just fill it out. Put your name down at the bottom, name, telephone number, email, and hopefully several hundred of these will come in. And that will keep Jamie Mosley very busy from now until the end of the year. So give him a little grace if he doesn't get back to you this week. Because hopefully there'll be a lot of response. Well, brothers and sisters, here we are again. And Lord willing, we'll be back next year with a couple of weeks of missions emphasis. And that does not mean that we do missions 2 weeks out of the year. It means that we have to remind ourselves at specific times because vision leaks. And so we have to recast the vision. And we're going to be working on this, acting out of this for the rest of the year to God be the glory. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we ask that you would right now in this moment speak to us. And it is my prayer, God, that in this moment we would see very clearly you and our lives and the gospel in the world, And that where those things meet, there would be a very powerful moment for your glory. God, thank you and praise you for making the gospel known to us. Thank you, Father, for making the gospel known to us. Would you come now and wash over this congregation that we might each realize that you, by grace, have made the gospel known to us. Thank you. Give us in this moment a glimpse of where we would be if you had not saved us. And let that glimpse produce in us gratitude. God, grant to us a missionary heart. If you'll put that heart in each one of us, Lord, then we know that the details will be worked out. And so, Father, we consecrate ourselves, meaning we set ourselves apart for you. And we present ourselves individually and as a congregation as living sacrifices to you in this moment. Now help us as we move forward to be sustained in the good work. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, if you would take this